A very interesting shaila that I've been asked many, many times over the last week or two is the following. Baruch Hashem, we are very blessed to live in a community where so many people want to go to Eretz Yisrael and volunteer and help out. We have members of Hatzalah, we have doctors who have gone, we have nurses who are going to work in the hospitals, we have average members of our community who are going to do all kinds of packaging and helping in so many different ways, and it's very, very inspiring, and it's very beautiful. And a shaila that just came up that many of them have asked me is the following. When we go to Eretz Yisrael, we know that the davening at this time of the year, for this small window of time between right after Sukkot and December 4th, there is a discrepancy in the davening between us and B'nai Eretz Yisrael. What is the discrepancy? Well, they start to say V'sein Talamata earlier than we do. So the question is, if I'm visiting Eretz Yisrael, what am I supposed to do? Do I say V'sein Talamata along with them? And then what do I do when I come back? If I start saying it then, do I then switch back to the way Chutz La'aretz does? So this is a very interesting shaila. And I realized I should really look into it, not only because it's nogea to all the people who are asking and who are continuing to travel, but I'm going to Eretz Yisrael on Matzoi Shabbos, and I realized I have to think about this for myself. So let us get into this discussion. Let us start with the beginning to understand where the whole sugya starts, and then we'll move forward to the practical halacha that is relevant to our question here. So the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis that there is a question as to when exactly Eretz Yisrael is supposed to start reciting V'sein Talu Matar Levracha. There are two times in the Shemona Esrei when we talk about rain. The first time we talk about rain is Mashiv HaRuach HaMarad HaGeshem, but that is not a bakasha. That is not asking for rain, that is just mentioning that the Gvura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the power of the Ribono Shel Olam, is in the rain. Now the Rishonim already wonder, when we're talking about the Gvuras Hashem, when we're talking about the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do we refer to rain as the Gvura of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's a good question for another time, but we mention Mashiv HaRuach then in the beginning of the Shemona Esrei. We then mention it a second time, and the second mention is very different than the first. The second mention is an actual bakasha. We are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sein Talu Matar Levracha. And it is in the middle segment of the Shemona Esrei, where we have all the different bakashos and things that we ask for. And in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, that is where we add this request of V'sein Talu Matar Levracha. Okay, so when during the year are we supposed to say it? During the rainy season. So the rainy season in Eretz Yisrael is from Sukkot until Pesach. So that is when we stop saying it, and Sukkot is when we begin. Says the Gemara, so when do you start? Right away after Sukkot. Says the Gemara, a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah. First opinion is on the third day of Cheshvan. Second opinion is on the seventh day of Cheshvan. And the third opinion is on the 15th day of Cheshvan. Why? I'm sorry, 15 days after Yom Tov is over. Why 15 days after Yom Tov is over? What's that arbitrary number? Says the Gemara, Kedei she'agia ha'achron shebi Yisrael le'nahar peras. We know that on the Shalosh Regalim, there was a pilgrimage up to Yerushalayim en masse. Many, many Jews went to Yerushalayim, millions of people. And the problem is they didn't have cars and they didn't have planes, so they all had to travel by horse and buggy. Now, how long should we assume it takes a person to get back to the furthest place in Eretz Yisrael after being Ola Regel on Sukkot? Says the Gemara, 2 weeks. 2 weeks is the furthest location in Eretz Yisrael from Yerushalayim, from the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we wait off until Yagia ha'achron shebi Yisrael l'naha peras. We wait off until the last person makes it to Eretz Yisrael, makes it back to his home, and then we begin to ask v'sein talamata levracha. The first thing I learned from that is that we really believe in the koach hatfila. We really believe that once we start davening for v'sein talamata levracha, it's really going to start to rain. And therefore, if we really believe that it's going to start raining, then we have to make sure not to ask for the rain at a time when it's going to ruin the person's life as he's trying to travel back to his house. That's number one. So the Gemara here has, as we mentioned, a three-way discussion. When exactly do we start to recite V'sein Tal U'matar Livracha? Okay, we know that our psak is that we start 2 weeks after Sukkot. In Eretz Yisrael, they start 2 weeks after Sukkot because we follow the third opinion in the Mishnah, which is that we want to wait until the last person gets back. Says the Ritva, when did the Ritva live? In the days of the Rishonim. The Ritva lived in Eretz Yisrael? No. So the Ritva lived way after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. and he's living in Europe, and he's wondering, well, why do they wait 2 weeks, even now? We have some Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. We know the Ramban went to Yerushalayim. So we have Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Do they wait 2 weeks even now? There's no Beis HaMikdash. So why would we wait? Says the Ritva. Of course, the logical possibility, the logical conclusion is, logical conclusion is that at a time when you don't have a Beis HaMikdash and there are no Olei Regel, you should start reciting the Sein Talamata right away. That's what the Ritva writes. In contrast with the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, who say no, we have one standard and one formula, and that is whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or there is no Beis HaMikdash, we are going to wait 2 weeks to start asking the Sein Talamata Levracha. Okay, that is all with regard to the recitation of a Sein Talamata Levracha in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what about in Chutz Laaretz? So then the Gemara says, in Chutz Laaretz, you wait until 60 days into the Tkufa. And the Gemara gets into a whole discussion. We know in all of our Siddurim it says December 4th or December 5th. Depends if it's a leap year. December 4th or 5th. Wait. When? Yeah. Oh, you're back.
I was going
to
say.
Welcome back. Where have you been? One second. Where have you been?
Haven't been able to make it because Yaakov hasn't actually made
it. Okay, just know that you were missed. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So most Siddurim that I've seen mentions civil leap years. What does that mean? Like the Hebrew or the English leap year?
I actually don't know. It's an excellent question. What's the answer? What? The English, I think. My oldest child, when he was a very young boy, now he's turning bar mitzvah, but when he was younger, I should say, so he started coming to shul with me and was flipping through the Siddur, and then he was very surprised to see that it says December 4th. Every Siddur says December 4th. Why does it talk about his birthday in Shmona Esrei? He couldn't figure it out. His birthday is December 4th. And he was so amazed why every Siddur talks about it. So I had to explain to him, we love your birthday and we appreciate you very much, but this has nothing to do with you at all. So why do we do it on December 4th? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he discusses how he has great difficulty understanding where December 4th actually came from. Not what we're going to get into right now, but that is what the Gemara... I'm sorry, that was... definitely the practice that was accepted all over the world, that we start on December 4th or 5th, and that is the way it goes. We're very different from the time that they start in Eretz Yisrael. What?
Based on astronomy, and when they change the calendar...
Yes. That's what I mentioned. That's Rav Moshe's tshuva, where he struggles to try to figure out what this arbitrary date is really all about.
Right.
Doesn't seem to follow anything at all with what the Mishnah says. What? Of course it changes. Every couple of years it should change.
No, every 250 years or so it gets pushed another day.
Further, right.
So the Siddurim...
It should keep moving, yeah.
Changing.
Okay, my son's birthday may no longer be relevant. Okay. Okay, so that is a question as it is. But says the Ritva writes, where did this arbitrary time come from? Why do we say 60 days after the Tkufa? Says the Ritva, it's very simple. Where was the Talmud Bavli written? In Bavel, right? When was the rainy season? Good one, right, exactly. So when was the rainy season in Bavel? 60 days after the Tkufa. So the Gemara says, we live in Bavel, therefore 60 days after the Tkufa is the time when we should begin, because that's when we need rain. However, says the Ritva, if you have other communities that need rain at a different time, then it would make sense that they should start a little earlier, or a little bit later, says the Ritva. This is not a finite date, this is not specific, this just happens to be that is where they lived, and therefore that is what they did. But that is not something that should be translated into any other community, because it's not relevant to any other community. That is the way the Ritva understands. Okay.
What comes first, the Bakasha or the season?
Once we get to the season, then we start asking.
But you don't know the season because you asked.
No.
If you didn't ask,
what do you mean? You look at the plants. You look at what's happening.
Go back to the original question about waiting for them to get there. The Bakasha brought on the season, according to that sheet.
No, meaning the season really is right now, but we want to hold off. So therefore, even though the season really needs the rain, we wait 2 weeks in order that we shouldn't ruin it for anybody who came to be other regal. Okay. Then the Gemara gets into a very interesting discussion about Anshei Ninveh. Says the Gemara, the children, the community of Ninveh, sent a letter to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, to Rebbe, and they wanted to know, we live in a community that has very unusual conditions. We live in a community that even B'tkufas Tammuz, we need rain. So Hechi Navid, what should we do? What should we do? So they asked Rebbe, should we assume that we are like Yechidim or that we are like a Rabbin? What exactly is their question? We know that a Yachid who has a specific issue that they are concerned about is allowed to offer a tefillah in their own private Shmona Esrei. Right? So let's say somebody needs a refuah. That's a private need. So you're going to ask, in Refaino, you'll add a special extra line. Somebody needs a parnasa, so you'll add an extra line in Baruch Aleinu. Somebody needs a shidduch, so they're going to add an extra line in Shema Koleinu, whatever it may be. But that's a yachid. A yachid adds in brachos. When I am at Sibur that needs something, maybe that should be different. So we know when at Sibur needs rain, they say the same talamat to the bracha, not in Shema Koleinu. They say the same talamat to the bracha in Baruch Aleinu. So the Amshe Ninve want to know, if we live in a community that needs rain at a specific time of the year that's not really the same formula as the Gemara tells us, should we be reciting the same Talamata Levracha in Shema Koleinu as if we were individuals? Or do you say, no, we're a sizable community and therefore we should recite it in Baruch Aleinu the same way everyone else recites it in Baruch Aleinu when they need rain? We should do the same. Says the Gemara, Rebbe Rabbeinu HaKadosh responded and he said, your situation is very unusual. You live in a very bizarre circumstance. You live in a very uncommon set of realities. And therefore, he said, you are considered like Yechidim. And therefore, you should say it in Shomei HaTfilah. You would not recite it in Baruch Aleinu. That is his answer. Okay. The Rambam writes, and therefore the Rambam writes, that if you have a community that needs rain, they should recite it in Shema Koleinu. Because the Gemara says they are like Yechidim. And that is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. In the 1500s, writes the Shulchan Aruch, Yechidim atzrichim lematar b'imos achama. If we live in a community where they need rain in the middle of the summer, ein sholo sabu berchas hashanim ela b'shomei atfilah. If there's a drought and everybody needs water, you don't ask in the middle of Baruch Aleinu, you're going to stick it in to Shema Koleinu. Afilu ir gedola k'ninveh. Even if you have a large community like Ninveh, o eretz achas kula k'mosfarad b'chlala, or you have Spain, still, says the Shulchan Aruch, you're all considered like Yechidim, and we would not change the text of Baruch Aleinu. Now, not all the Rishonim agree with that at all. Not everybody accepted the Rambam's position. In fact, there is a, most notably, the Rosh disagrees. The Rosh argues and he says, no, everything is determined by the specific needs of whatever community you live in. And therefore, he says, there is no reason to say that everybody should follow the same standard. Now, this has become a much more complicated issue now when we have sections and seasons of the year that are in the northern hemisphere versus the southern hemisphere. Of course, they're going to have different times and different seasons of the year. The longest day of the year in Australia and New Zealand is in which month?
December.
Longest day of the year for us is going to be in June. We have opposite seasons and we have opposite climates. So the question then becomes, does it really make sense for those Jews who live in New Zealand or for those Jews who live in Brazil or in Australia, does it make sense that they should say the same Talamata Levracha based on the same schedule as we do? It doesn't correspond to the reality that they are living at all. This is a very interesting Shaila that was asked by many of the great Gedolim in the last couple of years. As the Jews started moving more to these kinds of communities, which is a rather new phenomenon over the last 200 years, the question then became, do we need to change the text of the Siddur? And should we base our Nusach of Baruch Aleinu dependent on where it is that we live? Or would you say, no, really everything is determined by the way life always was, which is, you're supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael. If you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you live in some community that's somewhere near Eretz Yisrael or in the same hemisphere as Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, we're not going to change it all the way when a person moves out to Australia. That's a big, big shaila, very interesting question that one has to think about. Hanogeya le'inyanenu. Again, the question that we started with is the following. When you have somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, when do they start saying the same Talamata Levracha? Zayin Chezron, 2 weeks after Sukkot. When you have somebody who lives in Chutz Laretz, when do they start saying December 4th? How much time is there between Zayin Chezron and December 4th? Okay, what's normal? 5-6 weeks, at least, right? So you have 5-6 weeks in between. Now we have a lot of Jews who are going to Eretz Yisrael in between Zion Cheshvan and December 4th. So now I'm an American. I'm supposed to only start saying the same Talmud Matar on December 4th. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to start saying the same Talmud Matar already Zion Cheshvan. But now I go to Eretz Yisrael. So what do I do? Do I then adopt what they do and start saying the same Talmud Matar along with them? If I do that, do I then switch back when I come back home to America? Or do I say, well, once I've already incorporated this into my Shemona Esrei, seems a little strange to flip back and forth. That is the question that many, many of the great Gedolim are dealing with in our generation. When we have people traveling back and forth so often, so frequently, it's a major question of how exactly they're supposed to handle that switch and that change. What is the appropriate way to do so? The Mishnah Brura, Siman Kuf Yud Zayin, writes as follows. I'm trying to get rid of this. I'm not being successful. What? I've tried everything. So the Mishnah Brura writes as follows. Ben Eretz Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz, o lehepach. If you have a Ben Eretz Yisrael who is now in chutz la'aretz, or you have a Ben chutz la'aretz who is now in Eretz Yisrael, im daito b'toch shana lachzor. Mishnah Brura says, if he plans to go back within the year, which was such a rare phenomenon, they didn't have people in the 1920s, they didn't have people traveling back and forth like we do. You went to Eretz Yisrael, you stayed there for at least a year. You went to Chutz La'aretz, it was because you needed a Parnassa, and you stayed there for a long time. I remember, I think my father once told me, his plan was at a certain time that he was supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rav Beryl Soloveitchik. I think the Rav was sending him to go learn by his cousin, by Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, and he was single. So I think he told me that he told his parents, if he ends up meeting a girl there and getting married, he doesn't expect them to be able to come because he knows how expensive it is to pay for a ticket to go to Eretz Yisrael, and it is what it is. It is what it is. And I was amazed by that, right? Which parents nowadays would even think twice? I mean, I'm sure many people would, but your child goes to Eretz Yisrael for the year, meets a nice girl, and calls you one day and says, you know, I really don't expect you to be at my wedding because I know it's expensive to come to Eretz Yisrael. That was a interesting phenomenon. So, Baruch Hashem, we live in different times. Not everybody can afford everything, but we're living in very, very different times. So the Mishnah Brura here, when he sets this up, he says, imagine you have someone who goes to Eretz Yisrael and ein dai to lachzer b'soch shana. So he says, we have to figure out, do you have intention to come back or not? If you have no intention to come back in the near future, then you're considered a ben Eretz Yisrael or a ben Chutz La'aretz, wherever you are. But if not, then he says, you have to figure out exactly what to do. What's surprising is the Mishnah Brura doesn't talk about our scenario. What about a person who goes during this tkufa and then will be coming back in the middle of it? Now, why does the Mishnah Brura not talk about it? Because it didn't happen. Nobody did that. You know how long it took to get to Eretz Yisrael? We have a letter, a postcard or something, a telegram that my grandparents wrote, I think when they went, my mother's parents wrote when they went to Eretz Yisrael for the first time. I think they saved up money for who knows how long to go. I assume they went by boat. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? Probably in the 1950s. Yeah, only, so what?
Only by boat.
So they went by, I think they went by boat. And they wrote about what this experience was like for them, saving up money for so long and the gaguim and the kisufim and the how much they were yearning to go their whole lives and they can't believe it and this is a whole new world and everything. Just amazing to read that. And we just don't realize how blessed and how lucky we are. You spend weeks on a boat getting to Eretz Yisrael and people were seasick and people were vomiting all the time. And now we go on a plane, people vomit on the plane also, but people go on the plane and for the most part it's a comfortable ride and we're very comfortable and very well taken care of. So we're very, very lucky, but nobody would have imagined the scenario that we have today, that somebody's going to go and come back in the same tkufa in between this time of Zayin Cheshvan and December 4th. So this is a very new shaila. So what do the poskim of our generation say? My father feels that the safest way to go about it is, if you go to Eretz Yisrael during this time of the year, you will add V'sein Talamata Levracha in Shema Kolenu. Because I'm always allowed to add a Bakasha in Shema Kolenu. Anything that's troubling me can be added in Shema Kolenu, and there's no reason why V'sein Talamata Levracha wouldn't be allowed to be added during this time of the year. Now, it's a little bit of a stira, because in Baruch Aleinu, you're going to say the same bracha, and then in Shema Kolenu, you're adding the same Talmud to the bracha. Okay, But that's what he says. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes the same thing, and he believes that the proper way that one should be noeg during this strange situation that we came up with is that we should say the same bracha as we normally do in Chutz Laretz, and then we should add the same talamata lebracha in the Shema Kolenu. However, Shlomo Zalman then adds a very interesting twist to this, and he says, the truth is that we're not really clear about the same talamata at all, and therefore he says, it would make sense that you should say it more specifically. So you should say it in Shema Kolenu. However, he says you should say the following words: V'sein tal umata levracha be'eretz Yisrael uvimekomos hatzrichim lakach. Whoa, that's a long line. Now, why should you say that? Says Reb Shlomo Zalman, because you live in America. As far as you're concerned, right now we don't need rain. So you're davening not for yourself. You're not making a personal bakasha. You're saying you should give rain to those Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael and in all those communities who need it. Now, what I wonder about that is, if you're going to say that, then why don't we already do that here? Let's say I'm living in America. Now I'm living in America. I don't need rain because right now it's not the tkufa of rain. It is. It's not. We don't assume it's the tkufa of rain until December 4th. So that's when we start asking for the same talamata levracha. So the question is, why don't we say every day in our Shemona Esrei and Shema Kolenu, why not offer a tefillah for those who live in Eretz Yisrael or in any community where they need rain and say, the same talumata levracha, be Eretz Yisrael of a mekomos hatzrichim lakach. Why do we only add this if we happen to be in the strange scenario where we're in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of days during this strange tkufa of the year? Why does that make sense? Why should we only say it then? So I don't know. That's an interesting point to think about. But that is what Reb Shlomo Zalman writes. That's what my father tells people as well, that they should say the same talumata levracha in Shema Kolenu. And Reb Shlomo Zalman adds, don't just say it, you should add a more specific request in doing so.
Can you purposely say the wrong line and then make it up later in Shema Kolenu?
What does that mean?
In other words, you're saying the same bracha instead of talamata because of your location, or in other words, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and they're saying talamata, you're saying the same bracha, or you're saying that's,
that is what you're doing.
You're not correcting it, you're adding.
You're adding
the same talamata.
Yeah, that is what you're doing. Now, one last thing to think about before I lose my voice entirely, I'm just going to mention this point and then maybe we'll stop. One last thing to think about is, I was asked this question last year when we had somebody who went to Eretz Yisrael during this time of the year and had the Shaila. And then the added wrinkle to the question is that they were in Avelos, they were in Yud Beis Chodesh and had to daven for the Amud. So the question then becomes, am I allowed to serve as a chazan when during my private Shemona Esrei I'm going to say one thing, and during my Chazaras HaShatz I'm going to say something else? Or would you say that if I'm going to be the chazan, I should say whatever I'm going to say in the Chazaras HaShatz is what I should say in my private Shemona Esrei as well? So really that boils down to a question of, what exactly is the reason for Chazaras HaShatz? Why do we have Chazaras HaShatz? So the reason why the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daled is because not everybody was literate, not everybody knew how to read from a sitter, so the Chazan had to stand up, and the Chazan had to be motzi everybody yudei chavasam. He had to say every word of Chazaras HaShatz out loud to make sure that the people in the room that didn't know how to say the words on their own were then going to be yotzei with his bracha. That's where the origins of Chazaras HaShatz actually came from.
Yeah. He comes to down in America.
Yeah.
Okay, he holds whatever he is told.
Right.
He's not really Mekayim with the tefillah because he's not for the Torahs.
When?
Huh?
When? What are you talking about?
If you come back for a Yontif.
Oh, for Yontif, yeah.
And how do you get Chazan on the second day of Pesach? For the second day of Shavuos, when he's coming for Eretz Yisrael, right? He's coming here. And he's supposed to be Moitzei Rabban.
Who said he can?
Huh?
Who said he can?
I'm not telling you.
So this is actually an interesting shaila. Rav Moshe has a tshuva which is interesting. It's similar to that. Rav Moshe talks about there are people who have a minhag to say Baruch Hashem Le'olam at the end of the Birchas Kriya Shema by Ma'ariv, and there are some communities that don't say it. What's the reason why you say Baruch Hashem Le'olam? So the Gemara says, because the latecomers, they used to daven Maariv late at night, it was dark outside. We want to make sure everybody finishes Shemona Esrei at the same time in order that they should all be able to walk home together and not be afraid. It was a little bit dangerous outside. There were no lights. Who knows who could be hiding behind the wood somewhere. So we wanted to make sure that after Maariv was over, everybody was able to walk home together and feel the security and the safety of their friends walking together with them through the streets. Okay, what's going to happen if you had someone who rushed in from work and made it 2 minutes late to Maariv? So the Gemara says that's a concern. So what are we going to do? We'll institute an extra paragraph to make sure that we delay Maariv a little bit so that everybody's going to finish Shemona Esrei at the same time. Okay, the assumption of the Gemara obviously is nobody comes more than 2 minutes late to Maariv. Right? You certainly don't come 5 minutes late to Maariv. So if you come 2 minutes late to Maariv, we made something that's going to make it up for you. Okay, now what happens if I'm davening in a shul where the minig is in that shul that they say Baruch Hashem Li'olam? Most shuls say Baruch Hashem Li'olam. You know, minig agra is that they don't say Baruch Hashem Li'olam. But I'm the chazan, I'm the shliach tzibur. The job of the shliach tzibur is to say whatever's in the siddur, whatever the shul's minig is. But the problem is for me, it's a bracha levatala. I hold like minig agra, we don't say it at all. So what do I do? Isn't that a bracha levatala? If I'm going to recite it, if really my custom, my practice is that I don't recite it. But is that fair? Is that right? Because you're cheating everybody of the amen.
That's the only reason.
Right.
The amen.
That's a big reason.
So is that worth doing the wrong minhag?
That's the question. That's exactly the question. So that's where Moshe writes. Is it considered a bracha levatala for me as the chazan to say Baruch Hashem Li'olam when I know that my practice, that my personal minhag is, that we don't say it?
But isn't the bigger problem the reason why the Gemara doesn't say it? Because he wants to be Samech Lulavila, and now you're going to have that.
Correct, problem. Correct. But the bigger problem is the Bracha Levatala issue. Anyway, that's a big, big discussion in Rav Moshe that he wonders whether or not there would be a permissibility for me to say a Bracha that I believe would be a Bracha Levatala, but the shul that I'm davening in thinks it's the right thing to do. And he brings a Raya from an amazing Raya, I think from a Gemara in the Ander Maseches Pesachim it's in Perek Arvei Pesachim, where the Gemara talks about a situation where somebody came on Shabbos morning, one of the Amoraim, and he didn't know exactly what the community recites for Kiddush, and he was waiting around, looking around to figure out, what am I supposed to say? And from there, Rav Moshe has an amazing raya, really unbelievable raya, totally from left field, to explain what the answer to the Shaila is. But that would come up a little bit in our scenario, when you try to figure out what exactly is the job of a chazan. That's what Rav Moshe discusses there. What is the job of the chazan? Job of the chazan is to be motzi acher midei chovasam, which means you have to say everything that the shul says. And then what's the reason, if I'm going to say chazaras hashatz, then why am I saying private Shemona Esrei? So this is a major discussion that gets into the fundamentals of what is chazaras hashatz and tefillah altogether. What exactly is it? Rav Soloveitchik had a big chiddush to explain that he thought chazaras hashatz was tefillas hatzibur, not the tefillah bitzibur, a big chiddush that he suggested on his own, but something that many of his Talmidim have taken upon themselves to be choshish for that. But be it as it may, these are very, very interesting shilas and something that one who's in Avil has to think about before they go to Eretz Yisrael at this time of the year. Think about whether you're supposed to say the same thing during quiet Shemona Esrei as you do during the Shemona Esrei aloud, and whether or not that actually would be something that would hold you back from potentially serving as the chazan, as the shliach tzibur, even though you are an avil and you are a chiv and you're supposed to be davening for the yamut. So it's something to consider.